1, 2, 3.
I'm Redbeard, and today in the studio, it's the best of the heavy metal music forged into British steel by Judas Priest.
Two sides of the Atlantic hold two different opportunities for any band, especially in metal, because here in America, if you're fortunate enough to be successful as Priest is, then you get to go into the real big arenas where, to our feeling, metal really comes into its own, because you're able to put on this larger-than-life show. I mean, metal has always been a loud, a big, explosive type of music, It's only natural to surround it with big physical attributes like stage sets and hundreds of lights and explosions and bombs and smoke. One of the remarkable qualities about metal music is it doesn't really matter from what, you know, what country, what kind of traditional or social climate you're in. It has this incredible way of touching people.
Judas Priest is a band founded in England's industrial northern city of Birmingham, amid coal mines and steel factories, by guitarist K.K. Downing and bass player Ian Hill. By 1974, they had added lead singer Rob Halford and another guitarist, Glenn Tipton. Tipton actually worked for the company British Steel in those days, while Halford's school had been rocked daily by the huge metal stampers from the iron foundry right next door. Judas Priest followed a trail that had been blazed by fellow Birmingham band Black Sabbath. But by the early 1980s, Judas Priest had paved that path into a superhighway for countless other hard rock and metal bands to speed to success. Unlike Sabbath, however, Judas Priest's sound didn't bludgeon the listener, as their musical metal blade was far from dull, slicing through with laser-like surgical precision. Yet it took five albums and the entire 70s decade to get noticed. Few of the music critics who dismissed Judas Priest initially were even around to write about Priest's international success in the 80s, according to Judas Priest lead singer Rob Halford.
It's quite philosophical to see some of those early reviews, and they've said, like
what?
This band will never make it until so-and-so, you know, and now the journalists are, I guess, you know, selling bread or driving a truck, a lorry, right? Yeah, but that's the way it goes. But no, I'm pleased to say that although we've had our differences over the years, we've always been able to work things out one way or the other, you know.
You're talking about the members of Priest?
Oh, talking about Priest, yeah. But of course, we all know it's only too common knowledge that these problems exist in bands. But we've always been able to work it out, I'm pleased to say.
You know, I've heard so many performers, such as yourself, compare a working, touring, recording rock and roll band to like a marriage, to like a family.
I think that's pretty close to it, because, I mean, you're in each other's company for more than just those few hours on stage, and you get to know every single tiny nuance about each other, you know.
Good and bad.
Right down to where the zits are in the showers, you know what I mean? I mean, it's close work. It's real close work.
Things I don't wanna see. Sasha the Green Man, Alicia was a two-rock crowd. All my dragon is up, all you're bringing is down. He's taking my love and sweep away, leaving me here just trying to keep from following you.
Two of the best hard rock covers ever come from Judas Priest's U.S. breakthrough live album, Unleashed in the East, with Peter Green's original Fleetwood Mac Green Man Alishi song, followed by the completely transformed Joan Baez hit, Diamonds and Rust. Before he made his own molten music, Judas Priest lead singer Rob Halford discovered rock and roll just like millions of the rest of us.
For you, Rob Halford, growing up in this little English town, mm-hmm. and you hear this sound. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had to actively pursue it. You had to dig to find this stuff.
Yeah,
it didn't come to you free through the airwaves like it does
in
America.
Right. Yeah, you had to, like you say, you had to go out looking for it.
You must have felt there was something there worth looking for.
I think so, absolutely. And the whole business of rock and roll and how it touches some of us more than others. That, you know, to some people, it's enough to listen to it on your radio or to just buy the records. Some of us need to get more involved than that.
And, yeah. With some of it's yeah, a passion.
That's right, and it certainly is very much a passion with me and the rest mm-hmm. of the rest of the band. It's life. It's the way we exist. I mean, without our music, I don't know where we'd be. And I think that goes for the world in general. I mean, music has been around since day one, so it all touches us in one way or the other. But that's where it started for me, Red. People like that.
Song that knocked down the door at American radio, that's Living After Midnight from Judas Priest's 1980 album, British Steel. Unleashed in the East, Judas Priest's first million seller, had been recorded in the heavy metal hotbed of Japan, but mixed at a large English manor, first owned by John Lennon and later Ringo Starr. And Priest jumped at the chance to record this next album, British Steel, where Lennon had recorded the Imagine album. Judas Priest's heavy metal was highly polished, with crisp sound, tight songwriting, and even tighter playing, and a sense of melody absent from most of the genre. The excellent production was a hallmark of Judas Priest's sound after teaming with producer Tom Allom, according to lead singer Rob Halford.
That side of it has always been extremely important to us. Every single aspect of both recording, be it for albums or as we're doing right now, we've taken a great deal of care and consideration. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of commitment and all of those other things to make it work. But right from day one, you know, we put all of those attitudes into play, and I think it's important for any new band, for example, that's coming along right now to bear that in mind, you know, when you're working on putting some music or a group together, to have those feelings, those positive attitudes inside of you. But I appreciate what you've said about the band, because it's something that we've worked hard at.
Judas Priest, also from British Steel, with Breaking the Law. Next, Rob Halford explains how hard rock breaks down borders and cultural barriers. Be sure to follow In the Studio on Facebook and hear more rockstar interviews at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for the best of Judas Priest. Welcome back to The Best of Judas Priest. I'm Redbeard in the studio. Many American teenagers headbanging and doing air guitar to Judas Priest songs weren't aware that Judas Priest was English. So many U.S. fans were totally oblivious to the fact that Judas Priest was huge in many different parts of the world. Lead singer Rob Halford starts by comparing the European to the U.S. fans.
I think it's fair to say that the two sides of the Atlantic hold two different opportunities for any band, especially in metal, because here in America, if you're fortunate enough to be successful as Priest is, then you get to go into the real big arenas where, to our feeling, metal really comes into its own, because you're able to put on this larger-than-life show. I mean, metal has always been a loud, a big explosive type of music, It's only natural to surround it with big physical attributes like stage sets and hundreds of lights and explosions and bombs and smoke. So of course we have the great opportunity to do that more or less exclusively in America. In Europe, the the venues aren't really as accommodating for the type of shows that we're able to do. But having said that, I mean, it's not really fair to say which place is better than another. I think they all have something special and something different and very unique to offer to us as a band. But I think if you push me into a corner, we'd have to say that America is our favourite place to perform, mainly because it's a lot of it is the attitude of the audience. European audiences have a tendency to be a little bit analytical,
really,
and picky, you
really?
Know. But yeah, I think it's fair to say that. No, I think that most audiences would agree with me, unless it's an English metal maniac in Dallas at the moment waiting for me as I leave the building.
From the 1981 Point of Entry album, that's Judas Priest with the twin guitars of Glenn Tipton and K.K. Downing, and amazing vocal sustain from Rob Halford on the song Heading Out to the Highway. At the peak of their popularity in the mid-80s, many communist countries were still off-limits to all rock bands, including Judas Priest. Lead singer Rob Halford revealed back then to me where they wished to play.
Obviously, some of the Eastern Bloc countries.
Why?
Well, mainly because it's a fascinating thing to think that so many bands still haven't yet had the opportunity to go out there, and yet we get information through now and again that that metal music in particular is extremely popular. I mean, we've had reliable sources that there are that there are Priest albums in Russia and places like that, and I think that
now is this above board or is this like black market?
Well, I guess it's black market. I guess it's like $100 for a copy of the Turbo album or something like that.
But, You're kidding?
Yeah, but. But I also know that certain radio stations break through the jamming systems and get into play metal music,
maybe
or
like
all
from the
contemporary
North,
music.
Those
yeah.
ships off the North
That's
Sea.
That's right. They get into the Eastern Bloc countries. So those kind of places fascinate me, mainly because it would be an ability to actually give people something in the flesh, you know, to actually let people see you performing live as opposed to only being able to see you on video or listen to you on record is a great thing to want to do, and maybe someday we'll get the opportunity. But apart from that, I don't know. I think one of the remarkable qualities about metal music is it doesn't really matter from what country, what kind of traditional or social climate you're in. It has this incredible way of touching people. You know, it's just the basic gut instinct of the music. It really gets through
to visceral,
no matter where you are.
No doubt about it.
That's right.
It appeals to a base instinct.
Yeah. So I'd love to take it anywhere.
I'm
From the 1982 double platinum release Screaming for Vengeance, that's Judas Priest with You've Got Another Thing Coming. Rob Halford sorts through the bombastic public life of an international hard-rockin' outfit like Judas Priest, while controversy threatens the band at their peak. Be sure to follow In the Studio on Facebook and hear more rockstar interviews at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for the best of Judas Priest. Welcome back in the studio for the best of Judas Priest. I'm Redbeard. The life of a hard rock international star is part theater, part musician, part teamster, part WWF wrestler. Over the course of about 3 decades fronting Judas Priest, singer Rob Halford learned the importance of downtime and a private place to decompress.
How about in England? Where's home in England?
Home in England is a small place called Walsall, which is about 150 miles north of London, right in the middle part. It's a very kind of working class, Pittsburgh-y, Detroit type of place, you know. And that's where my family, my parents and everyone else is still firmly based. And that's where I go to, you know. I mean, that is home to me. That's where it all started. And I get great pleasure of getting back there when time permits. But after a couple of weeks, you know, Red, you start itching for the molten metal.
What's the name of that town?
Walsall.
Walsall?
Walsall. Well, you know, Walsall's a bit like Duluth. No offense to Duluth, but I mean, but there ain't much happening after dark.
Do you like soccer, football, or...
When it comes to anything like
scooters,
sports, I'm a bit of a... I'm a bit of a Harley Davidson freak. I mean, I've got my motorcycles out in Phoenix.
How many
I've got
do you
a couple
have?
Out in Phoenix. A nice 81 lowrider and a nice 79 FX 100, which is... And my favourite one at the moment. So I like to go cruising in the desert, but I mean, I don't get that opportunity out in England, you know, as much as I'd like to. Walsall is it's still home to me, but it ain't rock and roll. But it means a lot to me. I mean, it's a good place to go and recharge mentally and try and be normal. You know, there's nothing wrong in that occasionally.
Oh, no. Actually, it's a necessity in
it
this
business.
It
certainly is in this game. It sure is, because I mean, we often see. More often, unfortunately, the way that life on the road does get to people through various circumstances, there comes a time when you have to say, well, you know, put the reins on this, because it does start to affect you physically and mentally, and you got to put things into order, you got to make some priorities, you know. I've always wanted to be here for my music and to share my music, and I want to do that as long as physically possible, you know. And that means taking it easy in certain areas,
taking
and you've
care.
Got to be aware of that. It seems to me to be a little bit overindulgent of artists. Here I go, folks, who tend to unfortunately get into a lifestyle that to my way of thinking isn't really a very positive one, and has the wrong influence. And so I like to steer clear of those kind of areas, you know. Not that I don't go preaching about it, although it sounds like I'm doing that right now, folks. But I think it's important that, you know, that a certain amount of stability is maintained. I really do.
Come on.
Priest from the 1984 album Defenders of the Faith with Some Heads Are Gonna Roll, which is an ominous irony because 2 years later, the parents of two Reno, Nevada teen boys sue Judas Priest for over $6 million, contending that the band's music drove teenagers to suicide. One of the boys miraculously survives and decides to join the lawsuit against Judas Priest. While awaiting the trial, the then 20-year-old died of an overdose. 5 weeks after the trial began, the judge dismisses the case against Judas Priest. Here's lead singer Rob Halford.
And especially depending on the kind of people that are into your particular work, and as you know, I mean, Priest is fortunate to have a whole cross-section of different age groups that are very much into the band and its music. And it's fair to say that at certain ages you are easily impressed upon. I know I was when I was a young kid, and I think that we as artists do have a certain amount of responsibility. I don't think we should be completely tied down to that, because I think it's not down just to us. I think it's a whole series of issues, but sure, I think that we should bear that in mind. And like I say, there are certain parts of this kind of lifestyle that I don't particularly agree with, but that's just a personal opinion, you know.
Better.
originally on the 1986 album Turbo. That's Judas Priest with Turbo Lover. Again, lead singer Rob Halford.
Now, I think we like the spontaneity, we like the atmosphere, the attitude, the great feeling that exists at all of the Priest concerts. It's just a great, fantastic party attitude, and people go for a good time, and that's special, you know.
Long Beach, California! How are you doing tonight, people, all right? Good to see you all, good to see you. We have 13,000 heavy metal maniacs here this evening. All right, indeed. We've got a whole bunch of free stuff for you right now. We'd like to take you to the British Steel album. This, I think you might know, it is The Grinder.
Oh,
From the 1980 British Steel Tour, that's Grinder, now included on the British Steel CD, DVD, 30th Anniversary Deluxe Edition. I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this.